Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Poor Peter. From a moment of glory to a moment of utter humiliation. Last week we heard about how Peter finally got the answer right. "Who am I?" Jesus asked, and Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." "That's right, Peter, you got one right." Jesus was elated, the disciples were wowed, and Peter was on cloud nine. But Peter's hands were still stinging from slapping high fives with the other disciples when Jesus reduced him to feeling like pond scum again. And why? All Peter was doing was looking out for the best interest of his friend, his leader, his Messiah. If you had a perfectly healthy friend in the prime of their life, and they suddenly told you, "I'm going to die soon and I'm going to suffer greatly, but it's what has to be," wouldn't you argue with them? Really, who wouldn't argue with a healthy friend who said they were going to die soon and an ugly death at that? Well, Peter's the one who did what we would all do, and Jesus cut him down at the knees. He didn't say, "No, Peter, you don't understand. Let me explain it to you." He says, "Get behind me, Satan. You're setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." I wonder what Peter was supposed to do. It's not like he had experience in thinking about divine things. Was he Peter, creator of the universe? Was he Almighty Peter, answerer of prayers? Was he Peter Christ? No, he was Peter the fisherman, a guy who sported waders, not a halo. Peter was human, just like us. How could he set his mind on divine things? And why did Jesus fly off the handle like that? I think Jesus reacted so strongly because Peter hit a nerve. Jesus knew he had to die for God's plan to work, but knowing he had to die didn't make it any more appealing. And here was his best friend trying to convince him that there was an easier way, a more appealing way, a less painful way, a tempting way. Susan was never a popular girl. Her red hair and freckles brought her nasty teasing all the way through grade school. Her family didn't have much money, so she wore hand-me-down clothes, which made things worse. On her first day of junior high, she tried to sit at a lunch table with the other popular girls. They laughed at her and told her to go sit at the loser table. So she did. Every day, Susan would sit with the other kids who were teased and bullied for how they looked, for where they lived, for what they didn't have. Life wasn't easy for any of them, and none of them liked being outcasts, but sitting together, they survived. Just before Susan started high school, she made the varsity volleyball team, and the more popular girls on the team got to see that she really was a very cool person, and they liked her. So on the first day of school, Susan went to sit at the loser table with the kids she'd sat with all through junior high. But one of the more popular girls from volleyball saw her and said, "Hey, you shouldn't be sitting over there. Those are the losers. You're not one of them. Come sit with us." Susan said, "Thank you. I've waited 3 years for this. Sitting at the loser table was painful and embarrassing all through junior high. I know if I come sit with you, life will be easier for me and I'll have fun. But sitting at this table has helped to make me who I am. I'm not going to leave these people, even if it means I'm a loser to you. I'm one of them, so I'm staying here. But thanks." "Come on, Jesus, you don't really have to die. That's not in the Messiah plan. Stop talking nonsense. Take the authority and power God sent you to have." Peter's protest of Jesus' impending death sounded like Peter was trying to talk him out of the suffering, persuading Jesus to take the easy way out. And Jesus wasn't just God. Jesus was human, and knowing the pain he was about to endure, wouldn't it be tempting to choose another way? "Come on, Jesus, skip the pain, skip the nails, the cross. Sit on a comfy throne like the king you are. Stay here with us. We could have a great life here without pain. There is an easier way." But Jesus snaps back, "No. Get behind me, Satan. Don't tempt me to stray from my mission. Don't tempt me to be someone I'm not. I'm here to die for the world. I could choose an easier way, a more painless way, but I'm here to save you. That's going to mean pain and death. It won't be easy, but it's who I am. Mark lived across the street from a man named Roy when he was growing up. Roy was a bachelor all his life, but he was like an extra grandfather to Mark. He'd take Mark fishing, he'd help him build go-karts, they would make barbecue together for the community block party each year. Mark loved Roy. But then he grew up and went off to college. He'd visit Roy whenever he came home for the holidays until his parents moved out of town. So then years passed, Mark got married and had kids. And they would exchange phone calls and Christmas cards with Roy, but then the contact became minimal, and then Mark heard that Roy had left the neighborhood. Not long after that, Mark and his family moved back to his hometown. He heard that the block party was coming up, so he made Roy's barbecue and he brought it to the block party, hoping to hear something about whatever happened to Roy. Mark visited with his neighbors, had a wonderful time, and when he asked where Roy was, someone said, "Oh, honey, Roy has Alzheimer's. He lives in the nursing home now." Mark said, "I want to go visit." But the woman said, "No, that's sweet, but he won't even know you. He hasn't known any of us for 2 years. Do yourself a favor and just remember him how he used to be. You won't want to see what he's like now." Mark said, "Well, thank you for letting me know, but I have to go see him. He's like family." The woman said, "Mark, it was so hard for us that we stopped going a year ago. He won't even know you. Why would you put yourself through that?" And Mark said, "Roy was there for me when I needed him, and I'm going to be there for him now. He may not know I'm there to take care of him, but I'll know. It'll be tough, but caring for people is who I am." We live in a world that often tells us to take the easy way out, a world that tells us there's a shortcut, there's a pain-free method, there's a simpler way to get things done without all the trouble, the mess, and the pain. Pain is to be avoided, right? Life can be easier. Sometimes the easier way is the better way, but not always. Sometimes when we take the easy way out or choose the simpler path, we miss out on the rich blessings there are on the other path. And sometimes when we choose the easy way, we compromise who we are. We sacrifice things that are important to us just because the other way might be too hard. Sometimes struggles teach us things that shortcuts might not. Often the reward of facing the tough stuff is worth more than being spared the pain. Because it's the challenges we face that help to make us who we are, both as people and as children of God. Jesus could have chosen to be a Messiah who lived, who ruled, who conquered the world with his power, but that's not who Jesus was. Jesus was a Messiah who came to love and to sacrifice himself. Jesus came to be a Messiah who suffered, died, and rose to conquer sin and death. Jesus walked the path of the cross rather than the path of glory that could have been his. He realized that following him might not always be a picnic for us. Those who follow Jesus might find a cross or two along the path. Jesus tells us not to run the other way, not to find a shortcut, but to take up our cross and follow him. That doesn't mean that we're called to go looking for pain and suffering. We're not called to go cross hunting, as if it's good to seek out pain. Crosses will find us at various times in our lives. If you look back on your life, you'll see times that you had to bear a cross that you didn't choose. But the good news is that God has found us and walks with us through every time of our lives. So when we have crosses to carry, when we've got challenges and pains and crises, Christ is right beside us, helping us carry those crosses and carrying us when we need it. We're Christians. It's who we are. As Christians, we're followers of a Messiah who was taunted and tempted to come down from his own cross. But Jesus knew his purpose. He knew who he was. He knew he was sent to die on the cross, not to save himself, but to save us. But the cross wasn't the end. It was just the beginning, because without the cross, there would be no resurrection. Without the cross, there would be no forgiveness or eternal life. Jesus defeated the power of the cross to give you eternal life with him. That doesn't mean your life will be easy or free of crosses, but you follow a cross-bearing expert, and he will help you to carry yours. Amen.